Hey friends, thanks for joining us for the Messiah's Misfits podcast. No matter where you are in your walk of faith, this podcast is to help you to grow and to learn. I'm Mary Ventress, and I'm joined with my friends Randall and Josh Newby.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi guys.
Hello.
What a great day we had today.
Oh, beautiful spring
beautiful.
Day.
It was a good day.
Beautiful spring day.
And time changes.
Amen.
Next
oh,
week.
No.
Oh, it's wonderful.
No.
I don't like it to get dark before, you know, 9:10, 9:15.
But then you have spring, and then you have to start mowing and all the yard work, and no.
Oh, my goodness. I enjoy that to a certain extent.
And then
about
and then,
halfway done, through, I'm done.
And then you have the extra sunlight, so you have to do work after you get off work.
Well, yeah, that's why we like the sunlight.
No.
Then we don't have to do that work in the dark. Okay, well, today in our episode, we'll be talking about righteousness, faithfulness, and integrity. And one of the best books in the Bible to look for that is the Book of Ruth.
Good book.
Yes. She was all of these things. And it's only four chapters. So, I mean.
Yeah, but they're good chapters.
They are. They're packed with a good story, folks.
They're good chapters. They explain a lot and reveal a lot.
Yes. Well, and to teach us, you know, a little bit about how we should be.
Oh, yeah.
With our loved ones and our friends and even strangers.
She sets the bar high for us.
She does.
Giving us an example, you know. And, you know, when you just look at Ruth in general, what it covers, it's really a cameo story of life, which describes her situation.
Mm-hmm.
It describes the events that took place in her life.
Right.
And it shows how she maintained her character through that, mm-hmm. through the changes that took place in this.
Right.
And Ruth is a story of love. It's a story of devotion.
Mm-hmm.
Toward the end of it, we'll find it's a story of redemption.
Yes.
Man, what a great book. That it was during the time of the what we'd call the Book of Judges. It was time where the judges were reigning during the time.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of got a timeline of when it was written, when it was based upon.
Yes.
And so, yeah, there's a lot in this book. So, let's look, dig into this and see what we got tonight. Read the story of Ruth tonight.
I think that's great.
Let's glean, yes.
Yes. We'll just start in verse 1 and read down a couple of verses and then talk about it. Now, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. How do you say that? Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. So she was still, Naomi was, she was taken care of by her two sons.
Right.
Right. And so even though she lost her husband, she still had her
two
place.
Sons. Yes. Had her two sons to provide a living for and work for.
Right.
Yes.
And they took them wives, verse 4 says, and they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband, meaning she was the only one left.
Meant she was in a poor condition.
Yes.
In a poor situation. Mm-hmm. All of her providers had passed. She was alone in a new culture,
mm-hmm.
alone in a new world, no family. So, I mean, when we say the word poor, she was poor in about every area.
Destitute. Yes, and you know, it's not like nowadays, you know, when somebody passes, you read the will, and you get this, and you get that. It was not passed right. down that way then.
I mean, when you look at just the people, the husband of Elimelech, his name in the beginning is El.
Mm-hmm.
Which means anytime you see the word El in the beginning or the ending of a name, it always refers to God. Mm-hmm. So here you could see that it was like Amalek was like Elohim, which means God of the king. Mm-hmm. So you look at the names, and Naomi, her name means pleasant. Well, what she's going through here wasn't a very Mm-mm. pleasant time.
No. Mm-mm.
And so when you know, it was a time that it was difficult.
Mm-hmm.
It was difficult, and so everything that she knew, everything she could hold on to,
was gone.
Was gone.
Yeah. So she was at grief, and she was fear. You know what yeah. I do now. You know. So, and she's got these two daughter-in-laws with her.
Right. So she knew what real and true affliction was.
Right.
She was facing it head on.
Yes.
And so reality had really, really had set in. So, yeah.
Oh, okay. So, and her husband, okay. Then on verse 6 says, then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread.
Now, there was a famine
mm-hmm.
that had taken place.
Right.
And that's why they left. To go down because there was plenty down in Moab.
Mm-hmm.
So now the news had got around
mm-hmm.
that God had blessed the people back in Bethlehem.
Right.
The crops and the food had been increased.
Right. So you're saying if her husband would have waited upon the Lord and stayed where he was supposed to stay, he would have been blessed too.
But 10 years... 10 years, it's hard for us to see 10 years down
yes,
the road.
Yes, it so, is.
Because 10 years had passed.
Right.
You know, they've grown. A lot of things have changed in 10 years.
Yes.
But the good news is that God will always take care and mm-hmm. provide for his people.
That's right. Even when we mess up.
And but the good news was
mm-hmm.
she had heard that the Lord had visited his people. And,
yes.
oh, that's good news.
Yes,
that's
exciting.
That's what we're praying for in our nation right now.
Right.
As I believe that God is visiting America again
mm-hmm.
with the great revivals we're hearing breaking out in campuses
oh, yeah.
and different churches and areas. God's visiting his people again.
Right.
And this is encouraging. So I think this tonight's study is very on time, very timely,
right.
urgent, that we need to get God. Let me just say that. God is visiting his people.
Yes.
It's
yes,
time we get
I
back
agree.
To the house of bread and
mm-hmm.
and get back to the Lord because he's giving them bread. God
yes.
is giving us life. God
yes.
is giving us substance once again that
mm-hmm.
Satan has robbed and destroyed.
Absolutely.
But God is, whoo, that gets me excited.
I know
tonight.
It.
Almost
I know
gets
it.
Me to preaching.
He, trust me, he'll bust loose in a minute.
But that's a good verse tonight because
it is.
God is visiting. That's what we're praying for. That's
yes.
what we're believing for. Is God when God sees us destitute,
mm-hmm.
when God sees us in a famine, that's mm-hmm. when God really likes to show up and say, hey,
sure.
I'll be your light in darkness.
Yeah.
I'll be your hope in despair.
Well, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were already in the fire.
Yeah.
Moses was already standing at the sea.
Yep.
You know, Daniel was already in the lion's den when he showed up.
Exactly.
So though their faith brought him.
There you go.
So you know, when we say, oh, it's today. Today's the day of whatever I'm facing is going to be horrible.
It's trusting.
Mm-hmm.
It's trusting in God.
Absolutely.
It's trusting in God.
He's the only one that truly cares about every need and about every thought and feeling that you have.
Yeah.
He's the only one.
And he knows it already.
Mm-hmm.
He knows it. He knows
it. He does.
So, yeah. So, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so now we're in verse 7, in chapter 1, verse 7 says, wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughter-in-laws, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. So she's telling them to go home, go back to your family. You know, I bless you and I thank you for helping me.
But look at Naomi here. Look
mm-hmm.
at her. Look at her character.
Yeah.
I mean, look at her love for her daughter-in-law.
Exactly, because she could have said, "No, you're bound to me. You owe me."
She had a deep.
She did
a
not
deep, a deep love and a
mm-hmm.
care and a concern.
Yeah.
For them, and
she
wow.
did.
Yeah, she showed them love.
She did.
She showed them love in this in this area here, you know, and she said that, and they went their way to return to the land of Judah.
Yes.
You know, that's what we need to do is return.
Return, yes.
That's what we need to do is return.
That's right. Return back to, you know, it says, you know, if you raise a child up in the way that they should, you know, even though they leave, they'll come back.
Yeah.
And I've seen that happen many times, so it's true.
It is. It is, you know, and we look back to where they come. They left Bethlehem.
Yes.
And Bethlehem means house of bread.
Mm-hmm.
And John 6:12 says that Jesus was born in Bethlehem.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus is a picture of bread mm-hmm. for us tonight.
He's
so,
the bread of life.
So we know what we're turning back
right.
to.
Right.
We're turning back to, because there was a famine.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, hey, we got bread now.
Yes.
We
yes.
got bread back in Bethlehem.
That's right.
He's saying Jesus is here. So we just need to remind people now, hey, Jesus is the bread of life.
Yes, and it's not the first time this happened. Well, with the children in the wilderness, he fed them manna.
Yes, he did.
So, you know, he provides.
He does
provide. He is the ultimate provider for us.
Yes, that just shows who he is.
Yes.
He's our sustainer.
Mm-hmm.
Bread is the common staple.
Yes.
It's the common staple that provides all the nutrition
right.
that we need.
Right.
And so that's a picture of Christ.
It is.
He is our sustainer, and he provides everything that we need, everything that pertains to life and godliness, he's given us.
Yes, yes.
It's great stuff, great stuff.
Well, and he's the river of living water, so he's watering you and feeding you.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Absolutely.
So the Lord, verse 9 says, the Lord grant you, she's talking to her daughter-in-law still, the Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have any husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. So, you know, she's saying, I don't have anything to offer you. So I'm releasing you from any type of responsibility that you may have for me.
Yeah, you know, just over general,
mm-hmm.
that is a huge picture of love, though.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. They yeah. loved her, and she loved them.
Right.
Right. Beautiful picture there.
Because they really didn't have to help her bury the dead. They didn't have to do anything, but they did, and they were faithful to her.
They did. They did.
And 14 says, and they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. You know, I was thinking about this where it said she clave unto her. You know, she adhered herself. She stuck to Naomi like glue. She said, I ain't going anywhere.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
you're my people. I love you.
Well, like I said, you know, Amalek, I give you the Amalek's meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And Naomi's meaning,
mm-hmm.
but the meaning of Ruth mm-hmm. means faithfulness,
yes.
friendship, and association.
Yes.
That's what her, and she's proven that.
Yes.
She lived out the meaning of her name.
She did.
She clave unto her. She was associated
mm-hmm.
with her. There was a special bond between them.
Yes.
And it's just a, wow, I love the story.
I do too. And just seeing that love play out is...
Yes.
Awesome.
Right.
Okay, 15 says, and she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods.
That when it says her gods, that means her false
right.
god.
Right.
Her, because her they god. Were pagan people.
Yes.
So
they worshipped idols and
so
all those things.
So she went back to her gods.
Yes.
Her false.
And this is Orpah.
Yes.
And return thou after thy sister-in-law. So she's saying, go on back home. And Ruth said this, which is... you know, awesome. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God.
Wow.
Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me.
Wow. What a statement.
Mm.
What a statement. She found faith in God. She found something that she saw in Naomi, found something that she saw in Elimelech that she didn't see in the pagan gods.
Right.
She didn't,
they were her mom and dad.
She didn't see it in the idols.
Right.
She found something in Naomi that was real.
Right.
That was truth. She found Jehovah.
Yes. Amen.
She found Elohim.
Yes.
And she said, man, don't send me back. That's the word, what the word entreat meant. She said, don't ask me to go back.
Right.
Don't tell me to go back.
Right.
And she made up her mind. She made a choice. And that's what people have got to do. They've got to make up their mind.
Yeah.
They're seeing the world, and they're seeing a picture of Christ.
Right.
And people have got it. Just like Naomi, she was the testimony.
Yes.
People have got to see the light in us to say, you know what? We want what you got.
Right.
And that's what Ruth saw. She said, I want what you've got.
That's right.
And I mean, she made her mind up. The other one, Orpah, she didn't care. She said, I'm going to go back.
Right.
But Ruth saw something different.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I want what you got. Oh, my Lord.
Well, and it's love, because God is love. And I believe that Naomi poured her love out upon her family.
She did.
And Ruth didn't want to leave that.
No, she didn't. She wanted. I mean, she made her mind. She was stern. She was steadfast in that.
Right.
She said, and thy people shall be my people, and thy God is my God.
Yes.
Oh, man, that's good news for any preacher
there. Yes,
that to hear that.
It.
She made a confession.
Mm-hmm.
She confessed, I believe in God.
It reminds me of that song. Now I'm gonna go to the hymnal. You know, where it says, I said yes, Lord, yes, to thy will and to thy way.
Yes.
That is what she chose.
She did.
I'm gonna choose God, and I'm gonna follow him and his people.
Yeah.
Yes. Praise
the
Lord.
She turned her back on the false gods.
Yes.
She turned her back on Moab, and she said, I'm ready to go to Bethlehem.
Yes. Show me the way.
I'm ready to go back to the house of bread. Glory to God.
Even though they had nothing, they were destitute at that point, but that's all they needed.
Oh. But when you got Jesus.
That's all you
need.
When
you got
God,
Jesus,
you
got it all.
That's right.
You got the pearl of great price.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Now 18 says, when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her.
Amen.
So they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me.
Yeah.
I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest.
Ain't that something?
So they showed up right on time, didn't they?
Right on time.
They did.
Right on time. See, that word Martha means bitter.
Mm-hmm.
She had allowed some of the things that has afflicted her to make her bitter.
Yes.
Her
hurts and her, yeah.
And so there's going to be people that's listening today. There's going to be issues. There's going to be situations you're going to go through that could make you bitter.
Mm-hmm.
Relationships could make you bitter.
Yes.
The situation, the loss of loved ones, the loss of family, separations, they can cause a person to become bitter.
Well, you know, bitter comes with a lot of buddies, anger, resentment.
Yes.
You know, it brings a whole, so then you're dealing with a whole passel of problems then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, she did the point, she said, I don't even want to associate.
Mm-hmm.
Just leave me alone.
Yeah.
You know, and she blamed God.
Mm-hmm. She did.
You know, sometimes bitterness will cause you to blame God. And God's
grief.
And God's nothing but good to us.
Right.
So, I mean, there were some things she had to work out.
Sure.
In her own. It's like the rest of us.
But, you know, God, I believe God understands that.
He does.
Because, you know, we have to go through a process. You know, grieving has a process.
Yeah.
And, you know, here she is. She's lost her home, lost her family, you know, destitute, heading back home with nothing. You know, we all want to leave home, you know, as kids and go be stars and come back, you know, and be like, see, you said I wouldn't make it. So she had to come home with nothing.
She came home empty-handed.
Yes. And she had shame because of it, I believe.
Yeah, she felt afflicted. Mm-hmm. She felt like God maybe let her down.
Yes.
And, but she was going through a tough time. But God had given her a companion, Ruth.
Yes.
And I think we don't know how valuable our companions or our associations are.
Absolutely.
Every person God puts us around us are valuable.
Yes.
We have valuable friends, valuable companions that are walking with us that we can lean to. And like I said in 22 there, and when they came back to Bethlehem, it was the beginning.
Yeah.
It was a new beginning.
It was.
It was a new beginning. Mm-hmm. You know, I preached on this last night. God gives us so many new beginnings in our life.
He does.
He gives us new beginnings after new beginnings after new beginnings.
Well, the word says his mercies are new every morning.
Yes.
So every day we mess up.
Yeah.
There's something that we do that is not in God's will. But he says, that's okay. Listen, we're going to get up in the morning and we're going to start all over again.
A new day.
That's right.
It's a new day. His mercies are new every morning.
Because he says, Jesus said, strive to be perfect as I was perfect.
You know, you could probably say Romans 8:28, he's working out all things
for
our good, to those who are called and those who love the Lord.
Yes.
You know, so here he's working out something for her good. Even though she couldn't sit because she had allowed flesh and the bitterness of the world to really hinder her and knock her down, knock her off her feet. But God never left her.
No.
God never left. He brought her back to a place it just shows it.
And he's going to show her. He's going to show up and show out for her. He does. Is. He does. So, I mean, this is good. So that's chapter one. So we'll go on into chapter two and get as far as we can. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech. And his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was too light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech.
Now, isn't it just something that she showed up empty-handed, but the first person they come in contact with is a mighty man of wealth.
Right, and a kinsman. Exactly. Yes, and they're harvesting. There's food.
Well, look at this. This shows that they're what kind of character a person. They're not afraid to work.
No.
She said, I got to go out and get some food.
Right.
She was a worker.
Yes.
She was trying to provide for her family, her mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And she went out and just so happened that Boaz was who God placed them, right?
Oh, yeah.
Brought them together there. I mean, just that's how God works. He puts the pieces together of broken people.
He
knows where to put the healing, let the healing begin.
Well, and Boaz also, you know, because he owned that, he was a boss, right?
He was the owner.
Yeah, but the boss or the owner always knows who's working the hardest. Yeah. You may think, oh, they're not paying any attention. Wrong.
Well, what they didn't know was there was a preferment coming.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time of advancement was about to happen.
That's right, that's right.
There was promotion was about to take place.
Bonus. Yep.
And you know, sometimes we can't see that because all we can just see is, well, I'm just broke. I'm empty-handed here. I'm just down and out.
Right.
But keep looking up to God because it's a new beginning, an advancement, and promotion. I'm just going to say that promotion is in somebody's future right now.
Yeah.
That's
amen.
My Lord.
He said he'll make you the head and not the tail.
Yeah. There's somebody's about to get a new position.
Yep.
God is trying
to
elevate
make you.
He's going to elevate you to new levels. And my Lord, that's just word of prophecy right there.
There you go.
God is working things out for your good tonight. Wow.
That's good.
There's Boaz in somebody's future.
There you go. There you go, ladies. Or maybe a Ruth.
I've heard this long time ago. Don't settle for the bozos in life, but hold out for God's Boazes.
That's right. That's right. Wait for Boaz.
Wait for the Boaz. Don't settle for the bozos.
Or, like I said a while ago, if you're a Boaz, wait for a Ruth.
Yes.
So, you know, the Lord will bless you.
Yes. That's his timing. It's God's timing. Mm-hmm. God's timing.
And then verse 4 says, "And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens."
Oh, man.
He laid it out for her, didn't he?
Well, Boaz had seen, he's seen this little damsel coming.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he did. He did. Because he didn't say, who's this old lady?
Yeah.
He said damsel.
He wanted to know who.
Yes.
There was something about her that caught his eye.
Yes.
That caught his eye. If you go back in verse 2 there, it says, whose sight I shall find grace.
Mm-hmm.
She's looking for favor.
Yeah.
And Boaz was the one that was going to show her that favor.
Right.
She came looking. She was believing.
Mm-hmm.
When she made that statement over, your people shall be my people and your God my God, she was looking for something different.
Right.
And she was looking for favor. She was looking for grace. So she just didn't go out and glean, but she was looking for more than what she was expecting, more than what she went out for.
Oh, yeah.
She was expecting something else. And when this story starts lining out,
mm-hmm.
Then Boaz came to Bethlehem and said to there, the Lord be with you.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, the Lord blessed it. Look at how God is moving here.
He is.
I mean, look at Boaz's life. He's a wealthy man.
Yes.
He's a godly man.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to see here, he's a kind.
Right.
Very kind, generous, showed her generous and kindness
to
her. So, I mean, that's what you want to look for.
Yes.
If you're looking for a man in your life, look for someone who's godly.
Right.
Look for someone who's going to treat you well, who's going to look after you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
that's true.
This is a picture of a romantic love story here, a story of love, a story of mm-hmm. devotion, a story of redemption, as we talked about in the beginning.
Right.
We're seeing it unfolding. When God is in the center of it,
right,
he's going to bring it together.
Right. Right. You can't fail.
Yeah.
When God's in the center of
it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And, you know, if you go back to when you were talking about favor, you know, I don't know if you know this or not, people, but you can pray for God's, you can pray, Lord, Lord, give me favor in their sight.
Yes.
When you're trying to get a promotion, when you're trying to make a move.
Pray for promotion.
And say, give me favor, Lord. You can pray for that. I don't know. Somebody must need to hear that.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's there. It belongs to us.
Oh, yeah.
But not because of what we've done, because what God's
done. Exactly. We've done nothing.
Yeah.
We've done less than nothing sometimes. But God. I have a preacher that likes to say that.
God's gift to us.
Yes.
Amen.
Okay, so in verse 9 says, "Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn."
Oh, that's notice how he was given that favor.
Yes, and he might have been wooing a little bit.
Probably so.
Yeah.
Probably so.
I think so.
But he had told those guys. Keep your hands off.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, exactly.
Don't touch.
Yeah. And your eyes. Don't look at her either.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
But you serve her.
Right.
That's what a real man in a woman's life, that's what a woman ought to be looking for.
Absolutely.
Someone who's going to show her utmost respect and kindness.
Yeah, you don't want the men that he had to say, don't touch her.
No.
You don't want that kind of guy.
I heard a long time ago, I've tried to remember it, and it says the uh, the fruit that we reach for mm-hmm. is far better than the fruit that falls upon the ground at our feet.
Yes. Wow, that's pretty good.
So it's better if you reach,
mm-hmm.
and that's what was happening here.
Right.
She didn't fall at his feet,
mm-mm.
but she was. It was a wooing process,
right.
but it was respect, kind, godly kind of love. That
right.
was the agape kind of love.
Oh, absolutely.
Showing forth right here.
Okay, and then in verse 10 says, then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?
Wow.
And but that's good, right?
That's beautiful.
She is a stranger to him.
And that's how we are when we come to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, why do you give us,
exactly.
why do you love us so much?
Right.
Why you treat us this way? But she was saying, Lord, I'm thankful.
Mm-hmm.
She says, Boaz, I'm thankful for right. what you've done for me. I mean, look at her heart.
Right.
Her heart is real. Her heart is genuine.
Oh, yeah.
And they're communing in a special way, not a romantic or sexual.
No. Right.
But out of a genuine respect and kindness of love.
Right.
To a respect, high respect toward each other.
And she didn't just say it. She put action to it.
Yes.
You know, she bowed down and you know, said, I'm so grateful for this.
Yes.
Verse 11 says, and Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been shewed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore.
Wow.
She went from a place she knew to an unknown land with yeah. somebody she loved and trusted.
And that's what happens when mm-hmm. you turn your back upon the pagan idols of the world,
mm-hmm.
but you start believing in the one true God, he will take you far better, far greater places,
right.
around so much greater people mm-hmm. than we could ever imagine.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to find grace. But she made a decision to leave her own kindred.
Right.
She made a decision to do that and come after him, even though she was a foreigner, she mm-hmm. was a stranger. She came, she made that decision. To
right.
follow after God. Oh, my Lord.
That's awesome.
Yeah. This is a great testimony of how she, he had heard how mm-hmm. she had taken care of her mother-in-law.
Right. Right. And, you know, somebody was talking.
They'd seen it. They watched her. Somebody had been watching
yes,
her.
Exactly.
Somebody had been doing a little research.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, but the Lord made sure it made it into the right ears and came out of the right
That's
mouth.
Right.
That's important.
Right.
So verse 12 says, the Lord recompense thy work. And a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust.
Oh,
praise
glory.
God.
Glory.
Yeah. Whoo, wow. you came to the right God, lady.
And thy people shall be my people, and
yes.
thy God shall be my God. Now she's abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. And God is a rewarder
yes.
to those who diligently seek him. She's
oh, yes.
starting to reap the benefits.
Oh, yeah. She's found it. So then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. And Boaz said unto her, at mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. So give her a little bit more. We're going to feed her. We're gonna feed her at our table, and now we're going to let her pick what she wants. And let fall also some of the handfuls on purpose for her,
wow.
and leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today, and where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she shewed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi's, a light went off over Naomi's head right then.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's like, I know him.
Her eyes lit up.
Oh, yeah.
She had a little shout in her voice.
Oh, yeah. Like any mother looking for a beau for her
yeah.
you know, son or mother, daughter, whatever. Was like, okay, here we
go. Yeah, that was a moment.
Oh, absolutely.
That was a moment. But look how Boaz was treating her.
Oh, yeah.
Giving her utmost respect, giving her a divine favor. You know, God, he opens his good hand unto us, and he holds back nothing.
Oh, nothing.
He holds back nothing.
Mm-mm.
That from us, every good thing comes from the Father of Light, and that's what Boaz was doing. Boaz, when we read the book of Ruth, this chapter here starts bringing into 3 and 4, but here it starts really starting to come to light.
Right.
Three more, but here you can start seeing that Boaz is a type of Christ to us.
Right.
And here Boaz was acting as a type of Christ. This is a type and shadow of who Christ is
right.
to the church. And that's how God woos us. And
right.
he loves us and wants to provide for us. And he wants to bless us above and beyond. And
right.
he wants to give us handfuls of on purpose.
Yeah, and a safe place.
Yes.
He was a safe, Boaz was a safe place
yes.
for Ruth. And that's what God is for us. Wow. He's our safe place.
You know, he said, let her glean even among the sheaves.
Mm-hmm.
Let her have as much as she
Let
wants.
Let her have the first
Give her
picks.
Plenty. Give
yeah.
her plenty. Give
yeah.
her plenty, you know, where she don't lack anything.
Yes.
You know, don't keep nothing from her. Just let her have it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the goodness of God.
Yes.
That's the goodness
yes.
of God in right there.
And Naomi said in 20, said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead.
Wow.
And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabitess said, he said unto me also that thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, and they meet thee not in any other field.
That's right.
So don't be cheating on him by going to another field,
yep.
okay?
Stay true.
That's right.
Stay true.
So she kept fast by the maidens to Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest and dwelt with her mother-in-law. So, I mean, she got several harvests in this, right?
She did.
The wheat and the barley. And, you know, she stayed with Naomi, though. She stood fast
she
by her mother-in-law.
She never
and
left.
She provided her food. You know, Naomi didn't go to the fields.
Well, go back to her statement in 1 and 16.
Yeah, yes. That's
where,
awesome.
Where you go, I will go.
Yes.
Where you lodge, I will lodge.
That's right.
She meant what she said.
That's right.
She was steadfast in what she said.
She was.
She proved it.
She did.
She proved it.
Amen.
She never left Naomi.
Mm-mm.
She could have said, well, you're just my mother-in-law. I have no more kin. We're no more kin.
Yeah, yeah.
She didn't do that
no.
because there was a bond of love. There was a kindred spirit
right.
between them of a relationship that was binding. And she proved that right there. And she knew who, Naomi knew who understood who Boaz was and what
right.
Boaz could do, how he could help both of them.
Right.
And she understood this, and she says, "Why she said it's good.
Yeah.
This is a good thing,
well,
Ruth.
You know, Ruth's biological clock is ticking. You know, I was researching, and from what I found, they said that, you know, when Ruth marries Boaz, she was about 40, you know. So she's got, you know, all these thoughts in the back of her mind have to be, you know, compelling her. So... But I feel like she's thought, it doesn't matter. If I don't have any children, I have Naomi, whom I love.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's being
she
faithful.
Blessed.
And yes, that's absolutely.
How, you know, that's how God puts special people in our lives. I've said a long time ago, you don't have to be blood kin to be family.
Absolutely not.
And it was a family in the making.
That's right.
Man, this is, wow. These
and
first
they were
two,
tight. Yeah.
These first two chapters are just so wonderful.
This may be our longest podcast yet. But I think what we're going to do is stop here for tonight, and we will pick up in chapter 3 for our next one. So we're going to have a part 1 and a part 2 of this study. Pastor, would you like to pray with our audience.
Oh, hallelujah. Father, we just thank you tonight, Lord, for the goodness of God. Lord, the favor that you give us, Lord, the handfuls of purpose, Lord, how you just do things just because, Lord, just because you love us, just because you care. Lord, you are a good, good Father. And Lord, we just rejoice tonight, Lord, as we look to the story of Ruth and Naomi and Boaz here, Lord, as it relates to our personal life, Lord, through the events that's taken place, Lord, through the ups, through the downs. But God, through all of it, we see your hand at work. We see your favor. We see the goodness of God. Lord, so tonight we just pray for our audience. Lord, you'll continue to lead us and guide us, give us understanding. Lord, give us direction in our life right now. Lord, as you lead us for promotion. Lord, as you lead us for advancements in our life. Father, we thank you for the good days that are ahead. Lord, we love you and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, audience, for bearing with us on this long broadcast. But what a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Really enjoyed this. So, till next time, I just want to say thanks for listening to the Messiah's Misfits podcast. If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe wherever you're listening today so you don't miss an episode. It would also mean a lot if you took the time to give us a review so others can find our podcast and we can continue to serve and to teach.
The Messiah's Misfits podcast is a ministry of Yale Assembly where our mission is to build kingdom people. To find out more about Yale Assembly and our other ministries, you can go to yaleassembly.org.